Okay, good morning, everyone. Can you hear? Is this working? Okay. I don't think they make these for people with beards. I'm not sure, so we'll see how this works. I've never used one of these before, so let's just see how it goes. Can I put this in my back pocket or not? Huh? I was told they're pretty flimsy, so be careful with it, so I'll stick it in there. Okay. It's wonderful to see so many familiar faces. You must be very careful with your words these days, because people get offended. So if I say old faces, that would be bad. So familiar faces. I'm glad there's so many familiar faces that I see here. So thanks for coming out. And as was told, there's my wife, Tiffany. Can you stand quickly, my love? There's my wife. And my own photographer and video man there, Nathan. And then I'm even blessed. I'm 50 years old this year, and I have my own mom and my own dad here as well. So I'm really, really a blessed man. So thank you for that. So yeah, as was said this morning, so many things had to happen for this day to happen and for me to stand here in front of you. That would be a whole Sunday message, so I won't go there today, but I do believe that this morning very early when I was just spending time with God, the Lord clearly said that I'm here today because someone here is going to hear something that is specific for you for this very time and moment. So it's not just by happenstance that I'm here. Someone here is going to hear something and say, that's what I've been looking for, or that's something I needed to hear, that opened something that I was seeking from God. So I really believe it's a God moment, and someone's going to get something so amazing today. What I want to talk today is about two topics, and then at the end I'm going to try and put these two topics together and look at them as one thing. And the two things I want to look at is truth. The first thing is truth, and the second thing is where you come from, your origin. Where did we originate from? And then I want to take truth and my origin, and I want to put those together. And I want us to leave with certainty in our hearts about the truth of where we come from. That's my plan for today. So today, truth seemingly changes all the time. What was a truth 5 years ago is not a truth today anymore. And this is truth, and then it changes. It's not truth anymore. And I've heard people say, this is my truth. But if we go by the Word of God is truth. So no matter what your truth is, does it line up with the truth of the Word? And as heard, we've just become citizens. So maybe 2 weeks ago, we had to go and fill in papers to receive U.S. passports. So we're filling in the papers there, and at one stage there's, you fill in your name, where you live, all of that, and then it says sex. And when I grew up and the way I was raised and what I see in the Word is, you either male or female. But on this passport application, there were more boxes. So it wasn't just you're a male or a female, there were other boxes, So the Bible says there's a time and a place for everything, and to discuss the other boxes and what they mean, I don't think is right. Filling in a passport application, you only got 10 minutes, there are people behind you to ask, can you please explain to me these other boxes? If you're not a male and not a female, what are you? Where? What are these other boxes for? Truth. Can you tell me truth? And it changes all the time today. And we hear the word truth all over, especially in church. We love the word. And John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I'm the way, the truth. Jesus says, I'm the truth. The next thing in John 17, just before Jesus goes to the cross, he's praying for his disciples. He says, sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. So Jesus says, I am the truth. But he says to the Father, your word is truth. Jesus is the word. Jesus is truth. The word is truth. So if we believe in this word and we believe in God, then this word is truth. And what we believe should line up with the word. And what's happening around us today in society, the word is being changed, and things that are plain black and white or red and white in our Bibles where Jesus is speaking are changed, and terminology gets changes, and subjects get changed, and words get changed, and truth was truth, but that doesn't, you know, not for today. Times change and things change. Yet in the beginning, God made them male and female, made he them. So I want to talk about truth, because truth seemingly today is changing all the time. I was perplexed about that. I don't follow all of these things. I understand that there are people now who don't know whether they're male or female. So I just went to look on the internet while I was preparing for this. And this is a statement on the internet. It says, societies have traditionally recognized two genders, which is referred to as gender binary, having two parts. Non-binary is a term for any gender that does not fall into the male or the female designation. So societies used to, but now. It used to be binary, but now we have non-binary. So, hey, buddy, you feel like this today, tomorrow you feel like that, go ahead, that's your truth, doesn't matter. But truth matters. Truth really matters. Truth should matter to us who say we follow Jesus and we follow this word. Jesus says, I am the truth. He says, your word is truth. So we want to look at truth today. I want to look at another scripture that we use a lot, or I do in church often, John 8, verse 32. You hear this quoted a lot. You will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We use that a lot. That gets thrown around a lot. But if you just take that verse, verse 32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed, 31 there, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And then in 32 it says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if you just take verse 32, verse 32 in and of itself is not right, is not correct. You can't just take verse 32 and say, this is right. You will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Because you see, a lot of people know truth, but they're not free. So just knowing the truth does not set you free. Just knowing the truth does not make you free. Even though that's what verse 32 says. But what does Jesus say before verse 32? He says to the Jews who believed in him, do you believe he's the Messiah? Is he the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? He's coming back for his body. That's who he is. And then if you abide, if you abide, we love Psalm 91, he who abides in the shadow of the Almighty. If you abide in my word, what does my word say? Do you stay in my word? Is that where you live? Is that where you spend your time? Is that what you look at? Is that what you are conscious of? Is that what you live? If you abide in my word, only then are you a follower of me. Are you a disciple? And then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Just knowing the truth. I know these programs aren't real, but this is just for an illustration. There's a program on TV called My 600-Pound Life. And it's about people that need to go for gastric surgery, try and make your stomach smaller. They eat a lot. They have issues. And many times, there are people that go to the doctor. And the doctor says to them, we want to do the surgery, but man, you have to lose weight. You can't have the surgery weighing what you do now. So you have to eat less. You got to start doing this. You got to start doing that so that we can get some of those pounds off. And then we can do the operation. Because if you keep on eating like you do, you're going to die. Do you think the people needed to go to the doctor to hear that, to know that that was truth? Or do you think they knew that before they went to the doctor? They knew that. So they knew the truth, But the truth didn't set them free. Because many, many times you can see on these programs, these people leave the doctor's office, and where do they go to right from the doctor's office? The drive-through. Can I please have 3 Big Macs, 2 large Cokes, whatever. You were just at the doctor, and the doctor said, if you eat more, if you continue eating this junk like you do, you will die. They knew the truth. And in our Christian lives, my question is, do we sometimes know the truth, but we're not living free because we're not abiding in the truth? Does that make sense? Understanding what I'm saying? So we want to look at that today. I know these programs aren't real. They call it reality TV, but it's far from reality. But just an example. People who have heard me before, and a lot of friends here from Harvest, know that I'm on a heavy conquest on the mind. Romans 12:2, renew your mind. Look at Tina there in the back smiling when I said it. Lord has really had me on the mind, looking at the mind, focusing on the mind. We need to renew our mind so that we can prove the perfect will of God. That's what it says there. So the mind is super important to me, I think to everyone, but I'm really looking at my mind, having to renew it so that I can prove the perfect will of God in my life. Because there's certain things in my life that are not working. And what I have to do is raise my life to fit the Word. I can't bring the Word down to my standard. So the things that are not working, I have to renew my mind there. I have to find out what's God's truth about that. And then I have to abide in that so that I could be set free and walk in that. So here, the thoughts you think and the feelings that you feel create your state of being. Very important. The thoughts you think, when you think something, there's an emotion that goes. There's a feeling with every thought. So the thoughts you think and the feelings that you feel because of those thoughts creates our state of being. So when I ask someone, or when you ask someone, hey, how are you doing? Hey, what's up? Hey, what's happening in your life today? What you're asking them is, can you tell me your state of being at this current moment? Hey, how are you? How be you? What is your state of being right now? What thoughts are you thinking, and what emotions and feelings are you having because of those thoughts? How be you? What is your state of being right now? That's what you're asking. And we hear it in everyday vernacular. You can hear people talk and then they say, you feel me? You feel me, bro? You got me? You feel me? What does that mean? I'm saying something to you. I want you to get the same feeling as me. I'm thinking certain thoughts. I'm feeling certain emotions. And I'm telling you about them. And I want you to feel the same as me. I got home last night, my wife gone, just left. There's no food on the table, gone. She's just gone. You feel me? What am I going to do? Do you get my state of being? Do you feel the feelings that I feel right now? The thoughts you think and the feelings you feel create your state of being. Very interestingly now is those feelings that you feel are truth. The feelings you feel are real. That's true. So if you feel joyful, if you feel happy, if you feel anxious, if you feel sad, the feeling that you feel is true. But the thing that made you feel that way is many, many times not true. So we can have something, a situation, a circumstance that is not the truth, and now we are feeling certain feelings. The feelings are true, but what caused those feelings are not the truth. You get that? Distinction. I feel this way because of this, even though this is not real. It made me feel this way. And us in the Christian walk, us in the body of Christ, us being sons of God, sometimes we feel certain ways And the feeling is true, but what caused that feeling is not truth. Amen. So I want to look, I'll explain that like this, very, very easy and very, very simple to understand. 12 o'clock in the afternoon, you go to the movie theater. For the life of me, I do not know, especially now Halloween is coming, now everywhere you go. Go to the gym, all the TVs there, turn on the television everywhere. Halloween, scary movies, people get blood, all of this, especially this time of year, it comes out. So you go to the movie theater at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, sun is shining, it's a beautiful day, and you sit and you watch that movie. Now, you can have someone put sensors, an EKG, they put sensors on your head. They can see your brain activity. They can put things on your pulse to check your blood pressure. When you watch that movie, the scary feeling that you feel is real. It will register on a computer. It will register on a machine. Your pupils change size. Your blood starts flowing quicker. Your heart rate starts beating quicker. Why? Because of the fear. Your body's getting ready for fight or flight. You want to run away because this thing. So you are really feeling fear and anxious. But it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. There's nobody chasing you. There's no one behind you with a chainsaw. You know that you know that you know that that what you're watching now is actually in a room. And they just said, okay, 5, 4, 3, lights, camera, action, there we go. And their cameras and their lights all around this scary little bit. You know that. But still, watching that creates a real feeling of fear. My question is, are we watching, are we allowing certain things that are not true to make us feel a certain way about who we are and who God is to us? And I want to put this in here. I mean, there are some of my closest friends. I mean, here's my mom and dad, my wife, their friends all over that know I'm going through stuff right now. Please don't think that I'm standing here and explaining this to you. I'm living this perfectly, that I've got my mind already. I wake up every day and I say, no more renewing for rifle. I got this down. I don't. But I do know that, like I said before, this is truth. So if my life doesn't line up with this, I have to change. I can't change the word. I just want to get that out there. Please understand that. So sometimes what happens is, you know, you feel guilty. You feel guilty. Now, through your point of view, God is mad at me. Now, the feeling of guilt is real. It's true. But God is mad at me is not the truth. You did something wrong, and now, well, God is so far from me. I just don't feel like God loves me. You really feel that way? But the fact that God is far from you is not the truth. But if you hook up sensors to your brain and blood pressure and all of that, it's true that you feel that way and your body is acting like that is the truth because it is. But the thing that caused you, God is far from me or God is not listening to me or God, that is not the truth. And when you abide in His Word, and you are His disciple, then only will you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Because I hear so many times, I heard you Wednesday, there's healing here, that's amazing. We used to have healing rooms at our church every Monday. There's Mike who used to run that. But we believe in healing. But so many times when people come for healing or for prayer after a service, you hear people saying that, you know, God is just so far from me. Have you ever heard that when you pray for someone? Can I pray for you? What's going on in your life? What's your state of being? Man, God is just so far from me right now. Well, the word says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, if you have joined yourself to the Lord, you are one spirit with Him. So, no, you're feeling a certain way because you're believing a lie. God is not far from you. Another one here. I just don't feel like God loves me. I really want to feel the love of God. I feel like God is not there and he doesn't love me. He loves other people. He doesn't look at me. He doesn't love me. Well, for God so loved the world, are you part of the world? Right, so he loves you. He gave himself for you. Jesus said, no greater love has anyone than laying down their life for a friend. Jesus laid his life down for you because of his love for you. So the fact that you feel that God doesn't love you is not the truth. You feel unloved for whatever reason, but it is not true that God does not love you. Feelings are real, but many times that which causes us to feel those feelings are not real. And we need to bring everything back to the truth, the Word of God. Genesis chapter 3. We'll read you from verse 6. Very famous part of scripture here. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Then the Lord God called Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. What is Adam feeling? Fear. Do you think that fear that he's feeling is real? Most certainly. And we can see here because he fear. There's so many places, if you look at people who get into sin, it's caused by fear, and fear makes you act stupid. It does. Fear makes you act stupid. Your brain doesn't work properly when you are in fear. It just, your brain doesn't function properly. You act and you do stupid things. Now, I've got a whole teaching on people in different places, different circumstances, and when you just watch what they did, you'd think that's just amazing. How can you even say something like that if you have a brain? But that's what fear and sin does to you. So in verse 8 here, it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. They heard God walking. Then the Lord God called Adam, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden. So God is walking. Adam is running away from his presence. Then God says, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice. Which one is it? Is it hearing God walking? Is it his presence? Is it his voice? I don't know. I'm just scared, so I need to hide. Did Adam need to hide? Adam is afraid because what is God going to do to him now? In his mind, punish. 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 You did wrong. How dare you? I gave you one thing to do, just one. If I gave you 100 things to do, I could understand. I told you one thing to do. You couldn't even do that. Is that how we hear the voice of our Father? Let's be honest. Is that how we treat other people? Let's be honest. And fear. The system of the world, fear, how the enemy works, fear. Now Adam is filled with fear. He can't think straight. And as the years go by and I read this, I have more and more compassion for Adam, understanding the mind and the brain and the body. Previously, I was just, Adam, you're such a fool. You really, really think you can hide from God behind a tree? You really think that the creator of everything is not going to see you hiding behind a tree? Do you realize he's above you? He sees everything, and you hiding behind a tree? How foolish. But I've been in circumstances where fear has ravished my body, and adrenaline is pumping, and I can't think straight. And afterwards, When I look back at that circumstance, I think to myself, Rifle, what were you thinking? Rifle, you weren't thinking, because your brain was so filled with fear that you couldn't even think straight. So Adam comes here and he's running from God. He's feeling a certain way because of something that wasn't true. He tries to hide from God. So when we look at Adam, we get a distorted picture of our Father. And many of us are living in the reflection of Adam instead of who we truly are. We take face value from what Adam did in the garden and we go back to that and we make that our reality, and it's not. We go back to Adam. We shouldn't be doing that. Because God comes after that. I mean, Adam is now, he's lying. He's blaming. He can't take responsibility. Everything is somebody else. It's just not him. Don't even think about it, you. God, don't even go down that road. It's the woman you gave me. Just talk to her. You stay. I've got nothing to do with this. Don't even look at me. How dare you even think that I had something to do with this? If you didn't give her, then I would. How many times do you and I point the finger to someone else instead of standing up like a child in front of our loving Father to be able to say, yeah, you know what, Dad, I did it again, I messed up. Instead of hiding, because we always say, do we not say, when you sin, run to God, not from Him? Have you heard that? Have you said that? Do you do that? Once again, I unfortunately can't say that every time I mess up, I just run to Him. There's sometimes times where I want to be alone by myself in the room and not see anyone. Just leave me alone. Let me deal with this. Because I'm feeling anxious, fearful, afraid, sinful, guilty. And I'm feeling this way, but I'm feeling that way, and it's not the truth. My Father's saying, come to me. I've forgiven you for that. I've already went to the cross for that. I even knew you were going to do that before you arrived on planet Earth. So why are you trying to hide like Adam? Come out and come to me. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need. Rifle, or remember I'm saying, Adam, are you stupid? Rifle, are you stupid, hiding in your room, not wanting to be with people, thinking that it's okay? We feel sometimes as children of God a certain way because of a lie. And we need to get to the truth. So when we look at Adam, we see all of these things. And so many times people go back to Adam as where they come from, their origin. We want to talk about origin as well. Have you ever heard of this? It's not new. It's been around for quite some time now. It's a DNA testing kit called Ancestry. They can find out your ancestry, where you come from. And have you heard of that? Okay. I think it's wonderful. It's great. I'm nothing against it. But the problem with this, the problem with the Ancestry app or whatever it is, it can take your spit, your saliva, whatever, and it tells you 7, 8 generations before where you come from. And what it's doing is it's going back in the flesh, so many generations back. And you know where that ends up? Adam. I really don't want, not in a bad way, but I don't want anything to do with Adam. I don't. I want everything to do with Jesus. Why would I go back to Adam if Jesus made all things new? Why would I go back to Adam if I know the truth about where I come from? Because I can promise you this, if the devil knocks at your door and you open the door and you say, I'm 2/10 Italian, I'm 3/10 this, I'm 5/10 Viking, so be careful because I got Viking blood in me. I promise you, you're not scaring the devil. I don't care if you're 10 tenths Viking. That's flesh. Doesn't matter what your heritage is. And it's amazing to know where you come from, but in the spirit world where you are and who you are, it doesn't matter where you come from, because you can go all the way back to Adam, and that doesn't help. So my question today is, where is your true origin? Where do you come from? Because when the devil knocks at the door, and you can't answer him because you abide in the word that says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and my soul knows that well. Before I was even made, he called me by name. Before I was in my mother's womb, he already created and ordained good works for me to walk in. If you can't say that, you're not scaring the devil. And that is our true origin. That's the truth about where we come from. We don't come from Adam. I was sitting at church one day and a friend of mine was preaching, Brett. And even though I've read the scriptures, I knew what he was saying, I understood it. But sometimes somebody just says something and the Holy Ghost just lightens that phrase or verse or scripture. And it just... And Brett said, he said that you were found in Christ before you were lost in Adam. Jay. Because we go back to Adam, the flesh. A lot of people read Romans 7. You see, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Who's me? Who's going to help? And you see, I just can't help myself. Even Paul couldn't in the flesh. That's not what that chapter is saying. That's Paul before he's reborn. That's Paul before Jesus Christ is living in him. He's now a son of God. He's a child of the Most High God. But if you can't go back to where you really, really come from, then you're going to have issues with the flesh. And you're going to have issues with the things that Adam dealt with, blaming others, not being able to take responsibility, because you're coming from the wrong origin. You didn't arrive here in the garden. You were before the garden ever existed. That's the truth of our origin. And you can go into the Word. I mean, if you read the Gospels, it's amazing how the different, because people say the Bible has so many contradictions, but if you read the Gospels, there's a genealogy of Jesus in every one of those, and everyone is different. They're not the same. And you can read it and say, you see, not even these people agree about the genealogy of Jesus. But it's just different people writing to different groups. Different personalities, different thoughts. See, Matthew goes back to Abram. In the book of Matthew, you read the genealogy of Jesus, and it goes back and back and back. And he goes back all the way to Abram. Mark goes back. He doesn't go. Mark goes to a different place. Luke goes all the way back to Adam. Luke says, and the genealogy of Jesus is this and this and this and this and this, and the Son of God, Adam. But that's not the truth. That's not where we come from. That's the genealogy of Jesus, where it started on earth. But you see, if you go to the book of John, and we all know this verse, and we quote it, and it's so nice, and we have it on our scripture daily readings on the fridge. In the beginning was God. When is the beginning? When is the beginning? Is the beginning Adam? Is the beginning Abram? Where's the beginning? The beginning is where Jesus began the beginning. That's the beginning. Where's the start? Where Jesus started the start? Way before the garden. You see, your good work that was planned way, way, way before you even came to this earth. Before Adam and Eve walked in the Garden of Eden, your good work had already been set out. You already were. You were inside of God before Adam and Eve walked in the Garden of Eden. That's your true origin. So if I can go back to that and I can walk and live in that in truth, Ephesians 4, I think we are. Did I give you that verse? I think we did, ma'am. No, Ephesians 1. Yeah, Ephesians 1, 4 to 6. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Why would you go back to Adam? Why would you look at the flesh? Because you were chosen. Do you know what it... Were you ever at school and you would play a game? I don't know how school works here, but in South Africa we would have teams. And we would have different... You'd be the captain and you'd be the captain. And then the captain would choose his team. And for the most part of it, 99.99999%, the captain just wanted to win. It's win. There's nothing else. So I'm not going to go into my heart and I'm going to find a child that's not really good and I'm going to build him up and ask him to be... No, you lost. Stand back in line. I don't want you on my team, because if you're on my team, I'm going to lose. I don't need you. Move. I choose the best player that there was. I choose you who's going to help me to win. That's just here on earth. How much more? How much greater? How much more when the creator of the universes says, I choose you. And you see, you can stand in the line like Adam and you can say, well, you know, I don't know why you would choose me, because I do this and I can't do this and I have this issue and I battle with this and I can't overcome. And everything you say, say, I still choose you. 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 And when you've run out of all your excuses, I still choose you. Why do we go back to Adam? Why don't we go back to our true origin, where we truly came from? Spawned from the inside of God. Chosen before the foundation of the earth. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. How holy are you? Because you see, you ask somebody that who's in Christ and you say, how holy are you? It's blasphemy to say I'm holy. A lot of people can't handle that. He chose you to be holy. Do you think he's going to choose something for you and then not do it? Think he's going to choose something and then later say, oh, do over, this is too hard. This is not working. I thought he would be a little different, but he just doesn't listen. Or do you think when he chose you to be holy that you will be holy? That he is able to finish the work that he started in you? Do you think he can do that? He chose us to be holy without blame. This is talking about you and me, where we come from. This is the truth of our origin. That's where we come from. Before him in love. Love. Not because he had to. Not because someone was holding a gun to his head saying, you will choose this one. He out of himself said, man, there's nothing greater than you. I want you on my side. I choose you. That's why you're here. That's why you're chosen, because of his love. That's the truth. Having predestined us to adoption, this morning two or three times we cried out here, Abba Father, the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, crying out, Abba Father, because we're adopted, we're sons of God. Being adopted, predestined unto adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who judges the elect? He chose us for himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Why do we go back to Adam? Why do we feel guilty and ashamed and down and not good enough and life is just this and that? If this is our true origin, this is where we come from. To the praise and the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted. So if you ask many, many Christians, because you look at your life, how accepted do you feel right now by Jesus Christ? Now you're feeling a certain way because of something that's not true. Back to your state of being. I'm trying to get a point through here that so many times we feel a certain way because of a lie. When it's in black and white, what he did for us, why he chose us, why we are, who we are, who is, where we come from. But nothing but the truth will set you free if you abide in it. So here it says, he made us accepted in the beloved. So your true identity is not Adam. Your true identity is not Adam. So why do we go back in the flesh? Why do we live in the flesh? Why do we think in the flesh in Adamic ways? Because in the beginning, Genesis, the book of beginnings, he says in the first chapter of the book, he wants you to know, in the beginning, God said, let us create man in our, not Adam's image. Don't go back to Adam. Don't live Adam's mistakes. Genesis 1:26, we quote this all the time. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Not Adam's, God's. Who are you like? Well, if you look at my life, I'm like Adam because I can't. I do this. Why go back to Adam? It's not your true origin. You're feeling and living and having a certain way of life because of a lie. It's not the truth. Because you were made in his image, in his likeness. That's the truth. So if I don't feel that way, I need to change my truth for what I'm thinking to line up with the word and what the word says. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, not in the image of Adam. And so many of us go back to the flesh. That's not our true origin. The word says that everything be established by two or three witnesses. So there's one witness that I gave you where we come from. Another one. GPS. We all know what a GPS is. We all have them now, and they become easier and smarter and more simple to use. I remember maybe about 8 years ago doing prison ministry, and there's a young man who has been in prison for quite some time, and he has finished his sentence and he's out. And I, as his mentor, I go and pick him up. And we need to go to his brother's house, and he doesn't know where his brother's house is. We drive, and the roads are different than what they were before he went into prison. And new subdivisions have been opened, so he's kind of lost. So I said to him, okay, well, we'll just get the GPS. Do you know the address? He says, I know the address. We can put that into the GPS. So I'm leaning over to get the GPS out of the car. And before I see the doors open and he's gone, he's out of the car. I'm next to the road trying to get the GPS, and he's, oh, door open, he's gone. I'm shouting at him. I'm saying, so-and-so, where are you going? He said, I need to find the area. I need to ask someone where this house is. I said, we got a GPS. Right. No, but I need to ask someone how to get to the house. I said, we have a GPS. He says, what is a GPS? He's been in prison so long that when he went in, GPSs did not exist. He doesn't know what a GPS is. You see, the most amazing thing about a GPS is, if you ask most people, what's the most fantastic thing about a GPS, is people will say, it can tell you where to go. And that's true, it's wonderful. But you see, the GPS cannot tell you where to go if it does not know where you came from and where you currently are. I'll say that again. GPS is amazing, it tells you where to go. It can only tell you where to go if it knows what direction you came from and where you currently are. Because your car can be facing north, south, east, and west. If it's not a military GPS that it can physically look at your car and tell you what direction you pointed in, it can't work. That's why sometimes if you're at a shopping center and you turn on the GPS, it says, travel 300 yards down ABC lane. In a southern direction. And I think to myself, if I knew where south was, if I knew where ABC lane was, I wouldn't need the GPS. Now I'm shouting and screaming at the machine in my car. It doesn't listen to me. It doesn't know me. It's trying to help me because it doesn't know where I'm coming from, so it can't tell me where to go, and I'm arguing with the thing. if you and I do not know where we come from and where we currently are, the Holy Spirit GPS, as much as he wants, cannot direct us in the direction we need to go. If you do not know that you, in the beginning, Genesis, everything God makes, he makes, it's good, and he makes and he takes, and then he takes his hand, and finally he takes mud and all of that he made in day one to the last day, and he makes it and he forms it, and there's this thing, there's this blob, there's this clay, I don't know what, there's this thing. And everything that God made before this thing was good. Was good. God saw what he made, it was good, because he doesn't make mistakes. He saw that it was good, and it was this day, and he saw that it was good, and it was the next day, and he saw that it was good, and it was the next day. Because you see, we like to quote James 1:17, I believe, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, who there is no shadow of turning, right? You don't just come from above. You come from above and within. Every good and perfect gift is from the Father above. You don't just come from above. You come from above and within. You see, God made everything with his hand. Everything, the dust, the clay, the animals, the cows, the tree, everything, seeds that he planted. But when he made you and me, he went to the inside of himself and he blew that life, the real you, the real me. From the inside of him is where we come from. Why would we go back to the flesh and Adam? If you do not know that, your GPS is not working. And you're going to press in the address, my good work. Ephesians 2, the Bible says there's a good work for me. Where is it? And the GPS says, you don't know where you're coming from because you feel guilty, you feel ashamed, you feel horrified, you feel scared. Travel along this road for a little way so that you know what direction you're moving in, because you don't know where you come from. You don't know what direction you're coming from. And until we know that we come from the inside of him, that is our true origin. He planned us, he thought us up, and then he made us. If we do not know that, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and nothing was made. Nothing was made. You and I were not made without coming from the inside of him. That's where we start. That's our origin. And who writes that? The disciple that Jesus loved. Not that he didn't love the others, but man, this guy had guts. This guy had revelation. This guy had a belief system to say, you know what? He said it, I'm going to believe it and I'm going to walk in it. That's going to be my reality. Because you see, he's the one in 1 John 4, he writes, we have known and believed the love that he has towards us. It's this John, the same John, 70 years later, when he's in his 90s, he writes that. Jesus has been in heaven, wherever he's been, for so many years, and he says, this is a revelation that I have. We have known and believed the love. If you know the truth, because you abide in it, it will set you free. So he was free. He was completely free about what people said, where people wanted to throw him, take him away, put him on this island. Oh man, he loves me. I know and believe his love. Wherever I go, he's there. Where can I go that he is not? It's this guy that says, in the beginning was the Word, and we are born from the inside of that Word. And John knew this. So that's what I want us to leave with today, is this thing about the truth of where you come from. And when you don't feel good, when you don't feel God is there, when you don't feel God is on your side, when you don't feel life is, what thoughts are you believing that are not true causing you to feel that way? Because there's a big difference in God being love and God having love. He is love. And God is good to you, not because you are good to God. God is good to you because God is good. God's goodness toward you has nothing to do with your goodness toward God. God's goodness to you has everything to do with who God is. He is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. And that love is unconditional for you and I. So you can have excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse, and he still says, I choose you. I choose you. Yeah, but God, you don't know. I choose you. Did you see what I choose you. Doesn't change. He's the same. In the garden where Adam is hiding because he's scared, God goes and he says, hey, where are you, man? I need to cover your nakedness. You can't walk around naked. Let me go kill an innocent animal so that I can cover you, so that you would never be seen naked again. And he does it for us as well. An innocent somebody that did nothing wrong paid the price for us to be covered in his righteousness, so that we never have to feel unrighteous and that God is far from us. So truth, the word is truth. And our true origin, we come from the inside of God. We never need to go back to Adam, feel like Adam felt, because that was not the beginning. We existed and we were planned and everything was already set in motion long before Adam arrived and the flesh stepped in. I'll stop there for today. Let's close our eyes and pray.